While the market has been going up, you don't have to look far to find things that are in trouble. You just have to look really closely to find out if something that looks good is actually headed for trouble. That's what we're doing now. This is The Danger Zone. Welcome to The Danger Zone on Money Life. This is where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, which is a data firm that evaluates securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And the idea here is they dig in at the footnotes level, looking to see whether something is misleading. They have a basic premise.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Yeah. And when you dig in at the footnotes level and you find out that it doesn't create a true picture of the business, you've got something that could be headed for trouble. That's dangerous. The flip side of it, well, if you find something that maybe looks like it's headed for trouble but isn't, that would be attractive. To find out more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about their danger zone picks, so you can always get more information on the things you hear us talk about. David Trainer is president of New Constructs. David, great to have you back on Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Beyond Meat.
Danger, danger.
Beyond Meat. It is ticker symbol BYND. It's a pretty popular name these days. Why is this one headed for trouble?
Because its fundamentals are beyond ridiculous and its valuation is beyond absurd.
Okay, so give us a sense of just how far beyond ridiculous. Point that out for us, because you guys have ways of measuring that.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to do, you know, just provide a lot more context around everything it is we do, just like what we did with Tesla and pointing out that to justify its valuation, they have to sell 150% of the, you know, more cars than the entire expected size of the electric vehicle industry in a few years. You know, that kind of, I think, puts it into context. And for Beyond Meat, their stock price implies they're basically going to be just about as big as Kellogg or ConAgra. They're priced to effectively take huge amounts of share in the plant-based meat market. So right now, they're around 3% of the market, and they're expected to be 22% of the market. And when you look at the overall meat market, even the biggest player in meats, Tyson, right, doesn't get over, I think, double digits market share. It's just an entirely unrealistic set of expectations for a company that has some significant competitive obstacles to overcome, not the least of which is a long list of competitors who have far greater resources and have also the most important thing in the food business, and that's shelf space, right? When you're trying to get shelf space in Kroger to sell your Beyond Meat and you're competing with Kroger's alternative meat product, you're screwed, man, right? Like, Kroger's not going to give shelf space away. And look, I worked in the grocery business very early in my career, and I'm telling you, shelf space is all that matters, right? That's why Snapple, the Quaker Oats deal to buy Snapple way back in the day, was such a joke, bad deal, because they didn't recognize how Snapple was never going to get shelf space. And all that Coca-Cola had to do was say, well, instead of this 50 feet of shelf space for just Diet Coke, we're going to give 3 feet to Fruitopia. And all of a sudden, Fruitopia, a direct competitor to Snapple, has a million times more shelf space in the biggest and most important distribution channels, and Snapple never makes it, right, outside of, you know, the little deli stands in New York City. And so the shelf space thing is a big deal, and also I think the large number of competitors with exactly similar product in what is not a very differentiated sort of world. Beyond Meat's done a good job of kind of raising its profile, a lot like Elon Musk and Tesla have done a good job of kind of establishing the industry and sort of helping change consumer behavior, but that doesn't mean they own the market.
And so it's Beyond Meat.
To infinity and beyond.
We know that the stock's not going to infinity, but it could go closer to zero. How overvalued is it?
How low can it go? Even if we assume the company grows 41% compounded annually, which is sort of the best number we could find. We found that with Monster Beverage, and that was the best 8-year growth period that we found for any sort of consumer product. We said, okay, that's one of the best ever. That's a good benchmark. They did 41% for 8 years. If we assume that Beyond Meat can do that while also radically improving their profit margin, so again, really high growth along with a high, big improvement in margins, which is very difficult when you've got price pressure in a highly competitive industry. But if they do that, the stock's only worth $90 or about 50% of what it's worth today.
And that's with massive growth. Obviously, if it doesn't get that growth, it goes lower. I want to cut off our discussion on Beyond Meat and turn to something that you guys have been doing at New Concerts. We've talked a little bit about it. You're broadening out some of your research, and to the outside world, they might call it trading pairs. In your case, a micro bubble is the word you use for it, which is really where you're saying, hey, we've got this one thing that's dangerous, but we'll compare it and pair it with something that is attractive. When you got Beyond Meat in the danger zone, who's in the attractive zone?
Kellogg.
You are so good looking.
So what do you like about Kellogg?
First of all, we love the fact that it generates a ton of cash. It's super profitable. They have their own alternative meat product, established brand, and they've got a valuation that does not imply ridiculous amounts of profit growth. In fact, Kellogg's valuation implies that its profits will permanently decline by 60%. Right? And so what we're trying to do here more and more is to give investors a sense of the fundamental disconnect in these bubble stocks. And that is not just to show how ridiculously overvalued they are and how unprofitable they are, but then to pair that against a fair peer or comparable, that just has a dramatically better risk reward. So it's like, I want to, I could invest in Kellogg that's making money and whose valuation is super pessimistic and it's cheap, or I can roll the dice and go, gamble on a Beyond Meat that's not making any money, but whose stock price implies it's going to make extraordinary amounts of money. It just makes it such a no-brainer when you juxtapose those two things, in our opinion. And that's why we want to add this microbubble winner with the microbubble losers.
So it is Beyond Meat, BYND. That is in the danger zone this week. But if you're looking for that pairs trade or you're just looking for a good opportunity, Kellogg, which, you don't think about them as necessarily an alternative meat provider, but they are, along with their cereal business. That's ticker symbol K. That is the good-looking stock, the attractive one. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us to explain it.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
If you want to get more information on both stocks and what they do at New Constructs, you want to see the most attractive and most dangerous lists and more, go to newconstructs.com. And they're on Twitter, at New Constructs. Well, this was a great way for us to start the February 16th edition of Money Life. Up next, Joe Kalish, the chief macro strategist at Ned Davis Research. That's in the big interview next.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.